We say we like our pets. We say we like our friends, our relatives. We say we like people. But if that's true, then we should eat all the candy and all smoke all the cigarettes, and we should do all the things we can possibly do to shorten our life. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. We say, yes, that's what we say. Science has been working on some very interesting things, and they're showing how by giving animals a minimal diet, a third of their diet or less, giving them near starvation diet, they live happier, healthier, more fulfilled lives. They live lives that are dedicated to living in a perfect body with no diseases, or they live in a perfect mind with the brilliance of whatever they have the ability to be brilliant in. And they have this wonderful capacity to live 1, 2, 3, 4 lifetimes of what their normal lifetime may be. Now, animals have short lifetimes. Most animals live 12, 14 years, and we consider that good. But how long would they live if we gave them a proper diet? Now, you say that you love your pets. You say that you love your animals and the creatures you have in your life, and the people too, and yourself. And yet, you eat like a horse, which is not a proper statement to make. You eat like a pig, that's not a proper statement to make either. You eat more than you need to live a happy, healthy life. You hear me? Okay. Now, you would like your animals to live a happy, healthy life. Do you have the strength to be diligent relative to their diet? Could you keep your animals from eating more food than you would like them to have? If you would like them to have a near starvation diet, do they really want more food? Do they need more food? No, that's habit. That's habit that they have, and you help to make that habit continue. And so as you do this, you cause the animal to have all sorts of problems. You cause them to not live right. You cause them to be kept people, kept things. Now, whenever I give Rex all the food he wants to eat, he eats it all. Now, if I had raised him in the beginning, having whatever he wanted, perhaps he might have been able to build up a balance for himself. But as it was, I wasn't strong enough to do that. I fed him what I felt he should get. And so he always wanted more and more and more. And no matter what I give him, he wants more. And he goes out and he picks up cookies all over the yard and he eats them, and he wants more and more and more and more. Now, do I love my pet? What is the purpose of my pet? Is the purpose of my pet to be something that I enjoy? Is it a creation of mine? Oh, it's alive, that's true. But plants are alive and everything else is alive too. But do I create it to be my creation, my enjoyment, my delight? Well, if I do that, then I should take responsibility for it. Would I take my brand new mink coat, the most expensive mink coat in the market that I bought, and would I wear that out in a rainstorm? Yeah, mm-hmm. Would I take the mink coat and lay it on top of a heater, you know, hot water heater in the house, you know, that heats the house, the window heaters, the big hot things, you know. Would I lay my beautiful fur coat on top of it, even not wet, you know, just lay it on it? No, it would destroy it. Would I ever cause my fur coat to be used in an improper way? No, I spent a lot of money for that. Well, you see, we think money. We think our value is in money. Okay, now, you have a child. And that child is a child. It is 5, 8 years old. And that child is your child and is a good child and healthy and so forth and eats well because you feed him a specific diet and you train him to only want that diet, so when he goes somewhere else he only wants that diet, he doesn't want what other people have. Oh, you should try it. No, thank you very much, but I like my diet. I like what I eat. I like the things I choose. Now, could you do that? Could you go with a group of your dearest friends, and they're smoking their heads off, and could you not smoke? No! You say, yes, you could not smoke. Well, you're a liar. You smoked, remember? Yeah, way back then. But you smoked. Mm-hmm. Now, why did you smoke? Because everybody else was smoking. That's why. You didn't smoke because you wanted to smoke. You smoked because everybody else smoked, you see? And that's what you did. Now, so quick we forget. Now, did your mother teach you about having a balanced diet? And you thought, so whatever it was, that's what mother taught me. And then, did your friends or did the world share with you some other diets? And then you changed. Now, was that to the better? Were you a healthier person because you changed your diet? Were you a healthier person because you went into somebody else's choice of foods and things like that? 100% no. Your mother may have given you the most gosh-awful diet in the whole world, but it was from your mother. She loved you. And she saw you healthy with that diet. And you, as long as you ate that diet and thought of your mother, you were healthy. You respected your mother's choice. And you got along just fine. Then, when you started changing your diet, changing your program for yourself, then your immune system, all of the circumstances of your body are thrown out of whack. All of the conditions mentally that you had put into your body and put into your mind over your years of growing up, that certain foods are good and that's what you want and that you're not eating them. And that causes you to have all sorts of interesting problems. Now, my mother had a diet for us, and the neighbor lady next door was a vegetarian, and she had a diet for herself. And the neighbor lady up the street, she had a different type of diet. They were very, not wealthy, but they bought lots of food. You know, they enjoyed buying good foods and top quality foods. And whenever I went over there, she was making steak or chops, or she wasn't making hamburgers, you know. She wasn't making meatloaf. She wasn't making the cheaper grades of things, but she was making the top of the line stuff, you know. Well, I didn't miss it. I never knew about it. I never had it. It didn't bother me. I wasn't concerned. Well, I lived a very healthy life. And her kids were okay. But they weren't better because of the diet they had, nor were they worse. They just were who they were. Now, if we really love ourselves, we would give ourselves a diet that we believe in. But no, we are like dogs. We eat everything in sight. We'll beg, and we'll beg until we're fat as hogs. And we're all like that. If there's food on the table, we eat it. We should always put servings on the table and serve only servings, And that way it'll help us to eat no more than is beneficial for us. Now, we want pets to live long, healthy lives. But what do we do to them? We have our cats in the garage. They always have bowls of food. Their bowls of food are always full. And sometimes they eat it, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they go out and catch their food, and sometimes they don't. But we always give them bowls of food. If we gave them a starvation diet, they would live longer, healthier lives. And they would be lean, mean, fighting machines. They would be able to handle themselves under all circumstances. And this is what we want. Now, do we want our children to be lean, mean, beautiful things? Then we should feed them that way, treat them that way. Do we want ourselves to be this way? We should feed ourselves and treat ourselves that way. If we gorge ourselves because it's there, then all we're doing is saying that we are very, 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 very interested in having a shorter, 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 shorter life. A shorter, shorter, shorter life. You know, these mice, which are not always the best example, but it's an example. These mice, and they also had some baboons that they were working with, giving them the minimal diet. They lived many lives longer beyond their normal life. They had healthy bodies. They were sexually active right up to the end and very capable. And they were also alert and active. And they were playing games, like children playing games, like little animals playing games. They played them right up to their old years because they were living in dynamic bodies. Now, there are a group of people, and they have chosen to eat just the mean amount of food. Mean meaning the minimal amount of food necessary for the body to maintain itself. And this group of people is maybe 30, 40 people in the United States, and they live in their families and their homes, but they eat very minimum amount of food, enough for a healthy body. They're thin, they're healthy, they are active, they're dynamic, they're beautiful in every way, they are so fulfilled in every way. Now, is that a desirable thing for us to consider? Could be, could not. It all depends. What is it that we are living for? Are we living to eat, or are we eating to live? You know, what is it that we're doing? How are we conducting our lives? We are so concerned about animals who die, or people who die, or flowers who die, and trees who die, and things like that. And what silliness is that? These things give up their fur coats, they give up their jackets, they give up their outer shell, and move on to other dimensions. Now, if we don't believe that, then I don't know what to say. But I believe that, and I believe that every death, or every cessation, or every movement of life from this level to another is by choice, whether it's human, animal, mineral, or vegetable. There are some little pine trees that come up the crack in the concrete. If there's no crack there, they make a crack, you know? Mm-hmm. And palm trees. And it's amazing. It's amazing. And then there are these trees that have a seed that falls down in a crack in the rock in the mountain. There's nothing there. An occasional water is there. And so the tree, what does it do? It develops roots and it develops a stem. And it grows right there in the rock. And what else does it do? Its roots want to get bigger, and so it pushes the rock apart, and it splits the rock, a gigantic rock that would take tons and tons of pressure to split. This tree root splits the rock. The possibility, the magic that we have within us, the power that we have within us to do amazing things is unbelievable. But we worry over the silliest things. Do you live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body? Always. Do you live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body? Are you a happy person? Are you planning on living forever? You may not be aware of your foreverness, but are you planning on living forever? Okay, then live it. And believe that everything lives forever. We had a cat last night that decided to move on. And that's beautiful. Wonderful. Good for you, magic, you know. We enjoyed having you around all the years that you were here, and the years and the years. You were here when they started building the barn here, what? Long time. Anyhow, years and years and years. And then last night, she decided to trundle off. And so she went, and that's beautiful. Hey, you're going to tell her not to go? You're going to tell her stay? You're going to tell her, don't die, don't die, don't die? We can't do that to people or animals or anything, because if we tell them not to die, then we're seeing them dead. Now, what you can do is probably one of the most difficult things in the world to do. Can you see yourself alive?
Yes. Hey. Yes.
Yes. Don't just sit there with this blank stare on your face. Can you see yourself alive? Yes, okay. Are you life?
Yes.
Yeah. Is everything in your world life?
Yes.
Do you create dead trees?
No.
Do you create dead animals?
No.
Do you create dead people?
No.
All right. Then what happened to Dorothea? Dorothea went to her next dimension, didn't she? Good for her. What happened to Sam? He went to his next dimension. Great. And what should the activity be when he left?
A festivity.
A celebration, a festivity, a party. Bye-bye, Sam. Have a good trip. Have fun. We enjoyed you while you're here, and we know everywhere you go, everybody's going to enjoy you too. You see? Now, can you think that? No. But the thing is, why have Sam die? Why have Magic die? Why have Dorothea die? Why have anyone die? Now, you want to have them die. That's why they die. Now, if you, silly person, if you think that life is immortal and that they live forever, why do you have the word die in your vocabulary? Why do you have the concept of something ceasing to be living in your attitude, in your mind? You know, you have it. You must want death. You must like death. Can you count on your fingers and toes and sort of all the people you know that and have loved who have died? Well, sure you can. But is that silly? Yes, very silly. Why bother? Now, are you living with people who are alive? Well, then live with them and appreciate them and see them ideal. See them wonderful. And you can only see them ideal when you
are
ideal. Remember that. You can only see things dead when you are dead. If you see magic dead and you say, oh, that's so sad, well, you're soon to follow because you're dead too. Your consciousness is dwelling upon death. Now, is magic dead? Where's magic?
Another dimension.
In another dimension. What's magic doing there?
Having fun.
Well, you going to deny her that?
No.
Would you like to go and visit her?
No.
I didn't say stay.
Visit, okay.
That's what I said. Would you like? You don't even listen to me.
Yeah.
Would you like to go visit her?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting, okay. You can. Every time you think of magic in a happy tone, you're going to visit her. Now, you can go visit her where she is. It's not outside of the law, the rule books, you know. The spiritualists like to make games out of it. Oh, we're off into some other land, into some other seeing. It's not like that. It's very real. It's very real. And when your father, who has passed on, wants to tell you something, He doesn't have to tell you something through a medium. He doesn't have to tell you something through a spiritualist. He doesn't have to tell you something through a person who is a psychic. Because a psychic doesn't really have a visit with Daddy. They have a visit with themselves and what they think Daddy will say. Mm-hmm. Now, you want to really have a visit with Daddy? Okay, then let Daddy talk to you. Let him be in your consciousness to talk to you. Let you be in that mentality and go and enjoy him, you know? Now the next question comes, why bother? Why bother? Why do you think your daddy left here? He was ready for new adventures. He didn't want to regurgitate the old adventures. He didn't want to bring them up again and again and again. He was done with them. He's had enough. And why is it that Daddy very seldom, if ever, and probably if ever is more like it, comes back to talk to you and to say, well, daughter, well, son, this is what you should do. You're really not doing the right thing. I'm watching you. I'm looking over you. They don't care about you. They don't even care about you if you're just a little baby. They loved you at the time you were born. They loved you at the time you were coming into the world. And then they die. And then that's all that's needed. Nothing more is needed.
Because a baby continues to live regardless if the father is there or his father is already in that dimension.
That's another very positive statement. That's true. That's true. But the point is, life is for the living. Now, are you ready to live and enjoy yourself? Are you ready to get a lot of good out of life? Are you ready for a happy, happy world in which to live? If you are, then get your nose out of the past. Get your nose out of somebody else's experiences. If you've created them, create them good and create them free to do whatever they choose to do, or not. Now, if you create them not free to do whatever they want to do, then you are like the Chinese. The Chinese create the elderly people in the family to take care of the younger people, you know. They create mama and papa in the family to take care of the little children as they're growing up, you know. They create mom and pop in the family to do the knitting and weaving and stuff like that. They don't let them go. Mom and papa have already done enough. They want to go to the next dimension. But the family, oh, we need you, mama. We need you, papa. Don't leave us. And they're created continually living by their family. Now, you say, well, that's not really so nice. No, but that just shows you it can be done. Now, is that what you want to do? Or do you want to create everybody in your world to be whatever they want to be? Or you want to create them to be all that they can be? You want to create them to be their ideal self? Now, if you do, that means releasing them. If Ellen could ever release her son Diego, he could become the president of Switzerland. Well, Switzerland doesn't have a president. Well, I don't care. He could become the president of Switzerland. If Ellen would ever release her daughter Mariella, she could become the Queen of Sheba. You know, she could become the ultimate, which she already is. But she cannot do that so long as Ellen keeps seeing her as a little girl. Ellen keeps seeing her as somebody who isn't quite complete in every way. Ellen keeps seeing her daughter with a malady. Now, that's a mean thing to do. You know?
Yeah.
With a melody, what do you mean?
A malady, not melody.
Not melody, malady.
Oh, okay.
With a problem. Yeah, yeah. Now, when are you going to never see that again?
Now.
All right, thank you. Now, okay, now. As you go through life, see Mariella living in her ideal spirit, mind, and body, every organ, action, function of her body, fantastic. You know that. She can accomplish anything. She can be anything, do anything, but not when you see her limited. As you saw her children running along the street and you thought, oh dear, they might run in the street and get hurt. Well, she said, Mother, you taught me thoughts or things. You taught me not to worry about this, but to train my children before I take them to the street, how they're to act, how they're to live. And that's what I do, Mom. I mean, Mom, you were a good mom. You taught me well. You know? Yeah, ha, ha, you laugh. Don't laugh, because you did. And how did you teach Diego? How did you teach Giacomo? How did you teach the Arnoldi clan? Uh-huh. And how are you sharing with everyone? How are you teaching the monks here on campus? Are you teaching them limitations?
No.
Are you teaching them unlimited qualities?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do it. It's up to you guys whether you want to live long lives. And living long lives could be eating less. Or it could just having being master of what your choices are. Now, what are your choices? Are your choices to gorge yourself, to eat more than you need? Or are your choices to just eat whatever is beneficial and let that be? Now, I'm not saying you should change your diet, but I am saying you should change your attitude about your diet.
Mm.
And if you change your attitude about your diet, you watch. You will be the most healthy, vital, dynamic, alert person on the face of the earth. And I see it in me, so now I see it in you too. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.